Welcome back, everybody, to Monday Night Base Matters. It's good to be back. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Aaron and SD King. Le'iloi Nishmas Ilan Ganelis, Ilan Aryeh ben Avram Feivel v'Kehila Sara, who unfortunately whose life was taken from us very tragically a couple of weeks ago in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure many of us heard of that news of Ilan being unfortunately murdered in Eretz Yisrael. And our learning tonight should be Le'iloi Nishmaso. Esti and Ilan, their families grew up together. So it's very special to have our shiur dedicated in his honor in advance of Pesach. So tonight we're going to be speaking about what type of matzah to eat on Pesach, whether during the Seder or whether during the rest of Pesach. And we got a little cue tonight. So on the third source sheet, you'll see that there are three different Manischewitz products, all of which look very similar, but they're all different. So you see that on the left-hand side, there's the Shmura Seder Matzah. In the middle, there's the Shmura Matzos. And at the right, there is just the Matzos. So which one is the one that we need and when? That's really the question here. And we're going to see that this is intricate halachic sugya that also reflects very much on what we're trying to accomplish with matzah, a theme that we touched on 2 weeks ago, and we'll try to expand on tonight as well. So the Torah tells us in source number one, which most Perek Yud Beis, Ushmartem es haMatzos, we spoke about this on Shabbos a couple weeks ago, that we're to guard the Matzos. And from this phrase, Ushmartem es haMatzos, the Gemara has a couple of drashas, or uses this phrase in a couple of ways. So the Gemara in source number two, Psachim, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, it's part of a larger sugya, and the Gemara eventually quotes Rava, Da Omer Lehu, Lehanahu de Mahatche Kipe. Rava said to people who used to turn over the sheaves of wheat, ki mehafchisu, I guess that was part of the process of harvesting, when you would turn over the sheaves, hafichu l'shul mitzvah. You should do so for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. You should have the focus, you should have the intent, the kavana, that this should be for the mitzvah of matzah. Alma, kosavar, shimur, meikara, mitchila, sove, atzofa, bo'inan. Alma, you see from there that Rava held that we require guarding from the very onset of the process of making matzah. Mitchiloso ve'ad sofa, from the very beginning until the very end. What's the very beginning? When we chop the wheat off of the ground. Kitzira, when you harvest. All the way through until you bake the matzah itself into the oven and you take it out. So that's a very, very long process. And Rava is saying that we require shimur, shmira. We require that the matzah be guarded for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. The Rif in source number three, based on that Gemara, says, a person is obligated to guard the flour for Pesach from the time of the harvest. The Amar Kra Ushmart Emes Hamatzos, and then he goes on to quote the Gemara. So we see from the Rif that one is obligated to do a shmira from the time of the harvest. Now, the truth is that not everybody agreed with Rava. Rava was the one who said you have to start at the harvest. Not everybody agreed with that. Take a look at source number four in the Beis Yosef. He quotes the Rosh. V'arash kasav zeleshono. V'afilu hachi lo hader be Rava. Rava never attracted his opinion that we require a shmira, because Rava said to the people who were turning over the sheaves to do so for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. So continue on the end of the first line, klomar. This is if to say, afilu shenidchu divrei Rava. Even though Rava originally tried to say that if you start guarding only at the time that you need the dough, that that's not sufficient. But what the Gemara is really saying is that Rava was not correct, because really if you start at the time of kneading, that would be sufficient. However, afilu hachi lo hader be, Rava did not retract his opinion. Umachmir al atzmo haya mishas ketzira lishmor matzah shel mitzvah. Rava had a stringency to guard the matzah from the time of the harvest. V'chein mashma dechumra ba'almahu. It seems as well that this is just a stringency midekomer marberid ravina menakto le'ime ba'arbe. From the fact that the Gemara says that the son of Ravina, his mother, kept for him wheat in bowls around Pesach time. She guarded the wheat from the very time that it was harvested. Mashma, that implies De'ihu levad haya machmir. He was the only one who was stringent. V'chol shara chachamim lo no'agu chein. Everybody else, they didn't watch it from the time it was harvested. So at the end, the Rosh says, v'no'agu ba'ashkenaz, at the very end, last line, v'no'agu ba'ashkenaz uvitzorfas, so the practice in Germany and in France was l'shomran mish'as techina, to guard the matzah from the time that it is ground, from the grinding. Because at the time of the grinding, that is when the wheat would be more exposed to water, and therefore the threat of it becoming chametz was more pressing, and that's when they began to watch the wheat. So what comes out is like this. What emerges from these couple of sources is like this. The Rif says that the wheat needs to be guarded from the time of the harvest. That was based on Rava's opinion in the Gemara. The Rosh points out that it's not so clear that everybody accepts Rava's opinion in the Gemara. And therefore, the Rosh says that bidyeved, or really we could call it the least common denominator, the least that you would be able to get away with, is to watch the wheat from the time of the kneading of the dough. And then there's a stage in between the harvest and the kneading, and that's the grinding. And the Rosh said that the practice in Germany and France was to watch it from the time of grinding because there was an extra threat of it becoming chametz. As an aside, before we continue, it's something very interesting to think about, that matzah is the greatest threat of chametz that we have throughout all of Pesach. Because we don't expose flour to water in other instances, right? It's only when we bake matzah that we do it. We don't bake matzahs on Pesach. We bake matzahs before Pesach because of this reason. You don't want to get into the risk. But it's an interesting thing to think about. So these three different times get codified in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5. Shulchan Aruch says, "Hachitim she'usim bohem matzah, matzah's mitzvah." The wheat that you use for the matzah, for the mitzvah of the Seder night, tov l'shomran sholo yipu alei mayim mishas ketzira. It's best to watch them that water does not fall upon them from the time that they're harvested, v'lefachus mishas techina, or at least from the time of grinding, u'bishas adchak, in pressing circumstances, muter likach kemach minashuk. You could buy flour and then watch it only from the time of kneading. So those are basically the three opinions. And the Mishnah Berurah points out in source number 6, Shousin Bohen Matzas Mitzvah, what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about here? Ratzalomar Hamato Shouchlin Bishtea Lailos Harishonos. On the first two nights of Yontif, Lekayim by Mitzvahs Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. We know that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. We have a mitzvah to Oraisa to do so. So there, the Heim Trichin Shmira Yesera. They require extra guarding. Velo Dailanu, Kamesha Inlanu Reyusa Shel Chashash Chimutz. We don't suffice with the fact that, you can look at the matzah and you can tell that it's not chametz, right? Or someone can promise you, I can do a chemistry type of, I can chemically test this matzah and I can tell you it's not chametz. That's not enough for us. There's a positive requirement called shmira. There's a positive requirement of guarding the matzos, and that applies to matzah shel mitzvah, to the matzah that we're going to eat on the first two nights of Pesach. Josh, I'll get to you in 1 second. So what emerges from all of these sources is really one type of shmira, and this is the shmira from the matzah becoming chametz. Ushmartem es hamatzos means do a positive act to ensure that the matzah does not become chametz. And then you draw the line at a different places, whether it's from the time of harvest or from the time of grinding or from the time of kneading, and we're saying that the best is to do it from the time of harvest, and that's why we all buy matzahs for the Seder that are watched from the time of harvest. Yes, Josh.
What is the definition of watching here? Like, does it mean from the time of harvest there's literally a gate on it all the time during the night, or put in a locked room, or like a person could be sleeping next to the room? Like what is our definition here?
Right, so that's a good question. I mean, I think it's someone tasked with being able to testify, you know, that he oversaw the process and and at every stage of the process, he was aware that it didn't become chametz.
Do we have an issue?
Okay. So if he locked it away, you know, and there was no chance whatsoever that it became chametz, I think that's fine. But when you expose the wheat, so then it needs to be guarded under those circumstances. Okay. So this is the shmira called guarding it from becoming chametz. We're going to see in a second maybe another form of shmira. And that, according at least to the way Reb Chaim Soloveitchik explains the sugya. So let's see in source number 7. So earlier we quoted one source where the Gemara talks about Shmira. In source number 7, the Gemara is going to talk about Shmira in another context. So it says like this. Chalas toda v'rekike nazir. If you have matzahs that were baked for the purpose of a korban, they are excluded from being able to be used for matzah shel mitzvah. Why is that? Minohani mili. How do we know that if you have matzahs for a korban, you can't use them for the mitzvah of matzah? Omar Rabba. The Omar Kra Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Because the Pasuk says you have to guard the matzos. Matzah ha-mishtameres l'shem matzah. You have to have matzah that is guarded specifically for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. Yotz azo she'in mishtameres l'shem matzah el l'shum zevach. The matzah that is used for the korbanos, we make sure that it doesn't become chametz for what purpose? So that you can use it for the korban. Not so you can use it for the mitzvah of matzah. So that's why those matzos you can't use for the mitzvah of matzah, because it has to be exclusively guarded for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. That's what Rashi points out in source number 8, and he adds that this is actually like a mental intention that that we have to have. Shmartam es ha-matzos avadei shmir l'shem matzah, kol shimur she'ata mishamra shalo tachmitz. Whenever you're guarding it from becoming chametz, hiskavin l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. Adam has this has a sign in his house, from Streitz Matzah Bakery, right? Well, so what does it say on it? L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. Rashi Psachim L'Menches Mibeis. L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. Whenever you're guarding the matzah from becoming chametz, no matter the stage of the process, you have to have in mind that this should be for the purpose of matzah shel mitzvah. So,
maybe it's L'shem Mitzvah Matzah.
Huh?
Maybe it's
the shame, mitzvah, either way, it works both ways. Okay, so the Beis Yosef points out in source number 9 an interesting ramification of this idea. Uvetshuvas harashba matzasi shenishal amatzah shalosha chere shote v'katan v'nachri. If you have a chere shote v'katan, is a chere is someone who unfortunately is both mute and deaf. A shote is someone who is intellectually compromised. And a katan is a minor. All three of those in halacha are considered to be lav b'nei das. They're people who we cannot rely on for their intent. And a nochri as well, a non-Jew, not because it's a lav bar das, but as we'll see, because we can't necessarily trust that he's going to be acting according to our instructions. So all four of these people, we cannot task them with guarding our matzos. The chivan de b'matzah bo'inon shimur, since we require guarding, in adam yotzei b'matzah shalosha nachri, afilu b'yisrael omid al gabav u'mazhiro sheyechavin l'shem matzah. Even if you have an adult Jew who is standing next to one of these four people and telling them, have in mind, l'shem matzah mitzvah, l'shem matzah mitzvah, nonetheless, that's not going to work. There's a premise, there's an assumption that the non-Jew is acting on his own behalf, he's not acting on behalf of the instructions that the Jew is giving, and also when it comes to the other three, they're not. The assumption is that they're not able to implement the instruction that the Jew is giving, and therefore these four people are excluded from baking matzos. And that's why the Gemara Psachim on Daf Mem says that one can eat matzos that were baked by non-Jews on Pesach, but he can't use them for the mitzvah of matzah. Right? So for that kezias that you're going to have on the night of the Seder, you can't use bitzekos shel goyim. You can't use matzahs that were baked by non-Jews, even though the rest of the holiday, you could eat them as long as they're not chametz. Fine. Now, why is this? So again, this is based on the idea that you have to have a certain kavana while you're guarding the matzos. And the Shulchan Aruch in source number 10, Simon Tav Samech, so he quotes this lahalacha, in lashin matzas mitzvah v'lo ofin osa al yedei eno yehudi v'lo al yedei chereshot v'katan. So the Shulchan Aruch codifies that halacha, and the Mishneh Berurah explained exactly as we said. Good. Now, if you take a look at Reb Chaim in source number 12, Reb Chaim delves into the relationship between these two topics of Shmira, almost. In the first one, before you have the dotted line, what we spoke about was guarding the matzah from becoming chametz. In the second section, we spoke about having certain kavanos, certain mindsets, while doing the process of baking matzah. Right? Those are two different points. One is defending and guarding the matzah, and one is infusing a positive quality into the matzah, that it's l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Right? Like when you think of other lishmas in halacha, lishma means for the sake of the item. So we have lishma in a number of contexts in halacha. What are some examples?
Tzitzis,
you say, right? So l'shem tzitzis. Another idea might be sefer Torah. Yeah, tefillin. A get requires lishma, right? So we have lishma, and a korban also requires lishma. I actually mentioned that this past Shabbos. So at the annex here. So many things in halacha require lishma. When we require lishma in other areas of halacha, we're not guarding it from becoming something puzzle, right? We're not guarding it from becoming puzzle, as if we're saving the matzah from becoming chametz. We're infusing a positive quality into it, or we're designating it for a certain purpose, but we're not guarding it from something negative. So it almost seems here that in matzah, we have two different ideas. And that's what Reb Chaim explains in source number 12. So take a look at this Reb Chaim. We're not going to get into the whole background of how he's using this to explain the Rambam, but I just want to quote to you that we have limited time tonight, so I just want to quote to you the Reb Chaim itself. Vanir lomer bezeh, dihine be'ikir ha'din dimishum eres l'shem matzah, trei dine yesh bezeh. With respect to the halacha, that we have to have matzah that's guarded, there are actually two ideas, two requirements. Chada, one of them, is etzem masa hashimur shetzarech l'shomra mechimus. One of the ideas of shimur, of shmira, of guarding, is preventing the bad, is preventing the matzah from becoming chametz, shezehu ikar mitzvah shimur. That is the prime element of the mitzvah of shmira. Ve'od, and in addition to that, yesh ba din behachefza, there is a requirement that pertains to the item, to the object, to the entity of matzah, sheyachol ba shem mishumeres l'shem matzah. That the status, that this dough, that this piece of matzah has been guarded for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, that status needs to be applied, it needs to take effect onto the item. It's not sufficient that you do a guarding to prevent it from becoming chametz. It also needs to have imbued within it the quality of the status that is for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. And he quotes, "Uchadiisa v'psachim daflam and chesam ibeis," the Gemara that we just saw, that you can't use matzah of a korban for the matzah of the mitzvah on Pesach. Why not? Hare, third line, we're skipping towards the end of the line after the comma. Hare, so we see from here, the afti yeshkan maisa shimur gomur, sheyuchal lahomil gam le'inyin matzah. Even if you had somebody who guarded the matzah of the korban, right? You weren't allowed to bring bread for the korban. There had to be matzah. If it turned into bread, it'd be pasul. So somebody watched it. Somebody guarded it. But nonetheless, says the Gemara, that's no good for the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. Why not? Avol mikol makom, fourth line towards the middle. Kevan demishtameres l'shem davar acher. Since it's being guarded for a different sake, namely the korban, eina bichlal mishumeres l'shem matzah. It's not included in the category of something that has the status of being guarded for the purpose of matzah. So you see from Reb Chaim this idea very clearly, that we have two distinct elements when it comes to the idea of shmira. One is the sur meira, and one is the asei tov. The sur meira is preventing from chametz. The asei tov is imbuing within the matzah the status and the quality of being guarded for this mitzvah. I once heard from Rabbi Rosenzweig, who suggested that perhaps these two ideas are actually one. Rav Rosenzweig is very fond of making the point that whenever we say there are two dinim, this is like in the world of brisk, you like to say very often there are two dinim. But when there are two dinim, you can't just make that up, you have to have a source. So where's the source for two different dinim of Shmira? We only had one source. What was the source? Ushmartem es hamatzos. There isn't any other source. So Rav Rosenzweig suggested that perhaps these two ideas are really getting at the same fundamental core point. Maybe they're not really two totally distinct ideas. Maybe the whole idea of matzah is that the way that you imbue the positive status into the matzah is by means of guarding it from chametz. The very fact that this item has been guarded from chametz, and we can ensure that it's not chametz, but rather matzah, that itself is the positive quality that we're looking for. And that's something that we developed 2 weeks ago, where we're straddling the line between chametz and matzah. We pointed out then that matzah has to be able to become chametz. You can't use something for matzah that can't become chametz. They have to have the same ingredients, right? It's, according to some, they even have to go through a process where it could possibly become chametz, and you do a positive activity to guard it from becoming chametz. That itself is the positive quality of matzah. So it might not be totally separate dinim. Ushmartam es hamatzos means this is a positive act of shmira because of the fact that you guarded it from becoming chametz and therefore rejected chametz and embraced matzah all in one. Yeah?
So let's get to the discussion that we're going to get to the rest of this year. Understanding it that way would l'chora mean that even though we're flying as the time says this quality to the chetza, but it's not the achsias hachetza per se that's l'shma.
Exactly.
It's the shmira that's l'shma.
Yes, and that's exactly what Moreno of Rosenzweig said, yes. What Dovi is pointing out is that the lishma of matzah is very different from all those other lishmas that we talked about before. From a sefer Torah, tzitzis, tefillin, a get, a korban, they're all, it's different from all of those. Because when it comes to those, when a sofer writes a sefer Torah, what's his lishma? His intent of lishma is in creating the sefer Torah, making the sefer Torah, writing the words on the parchment and creating an entity called the sefer Torah. Same thing when it comes to tefillin, and same thing when it comes to a get. But when it comes to matzah, that's not the case. It's not that I have intent to create the item. The intent or the positive quality that I'm having in mind is the prevention throughout the process. It's the shmira that needs to be lishma, not the asiya. And that's something that we don't always, we don't always think about so clearly. Good. So now with these two different ideas, or even if you want to see them as one holistic idea, I wanted to point out a couple of practical ramifications between them. So number one, let's take a look at the Taz in source number 13. So the Taz points out, this is quoted in the Bir Halacha, I just did that for convenience. Ayin betaz dadaito, dadavka lisha va'afia lo mahani omid al gabav. Aval betchina l'chulei alma mahani b'Yisrael sh'omid v'roeh sh'lonase b'zeh shum chashash chimotz. The Taz says something very interesting. Remember we said earlier that it doesn't help to have an adult Jew standing next to somebody who is disqualified from making the matzahs, Chayr Shota V'Katan, or a non-Jew. The Taz distinguishes between stages of the process. And the Taz says that when it comes to the later stages of the process, namely the kneading and the baking, that's when we said that having a Jew stand by doesn't help. But during the earlier parts of the process, the grinding, or even earlier, the harvesting, so then you could have a Jew be mashgiach while non-Jews are doing the work or while a Chayr Shota V'Katan is doing the work. Conceptually, why does this make sense? So this is what the Taz is saying. It's beautiful. What the Taz is saying is that these two ideas of Shmira get applied differently based on the stage of the process. In the earlier parts of the process, what we're focused on is only the Sur Meira. At the Ktsira and at the Tchina, when we harvest and grind, all that we need to do is make sure this matzah doesn't become chametz. For that, all that you need is somebody who's trusted in the world of halacha. So if you have the Jew who's overseeing it, it's like any other kashrus, where you have a mashgiach who oversees the process, and other people are doing the work. But when it comes to the later stages of the process, like the kneading and the baking, that's when you're creating the entity. And according to the Taz, that's when you need to infuse within it the positive quality. To infuse a positive quality, having somebody stand by and say, I can attest to the fact nothing bad happened, that doesn't help. You have to have the person himself imbue the quality within the item. And that's why later on in the process, that's when we disqualify Omeid al-Gabav, somebody standing next by, next door, on, you know, right by his side. But earlier in the process, we're totally fine with it. So that's very important to keep in mind. And the Bir Halacha actually says that that's how we paskin Halacha Lamaisa. That Omid Al-Gabav works for the earlier parts of the process, but not for the later parts of the process.
Because there's a Maisa, what's the reason behind it?
So the distinction that I'm going for, thank you for asking, the distinction that I'm going for, again, is along the lines of the two different concepts that we've laid out so far. The earlier parts of the process, according to the Taz, are purely the, what I'm calling the sur meira. You're just preventing the chametz from becoming matzah.
Because you're not making matzah in that second.
Correct. It's not really... Right. Exactly. Now, there are others who disagree. And that could be maybe for one of two reasons. Either they consider those parts of the process part of the creation of the item, or maybe they take a more Rav Rosenzweig type of idea and say that, no, the prevention itself is the imbuing of the positive quality. You can't distinguish like this so cleanly between Sur Meira and Aseh Tov. So there are others who disagree, but Halacha Lamaisa, we paskin like the Taz, that the earlier stages of the process, you can use Omid Al-Gabav. Now, another fascinating debate that revolves around this question is when it comes to the question of Mishin Shmura Matzah. Everybody familiar with Mishin Shmura Matzah? So again, if you go to the supermarket, you'll see all three of these on the shelves. Okay? So Mishin Shmura Matzah. The question arose already, I think, in the 1800s as to whether we can use matzahs that are baked by machines for our mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder. This created a huge tumult. There were contrasim point put out. I read today a tshuva of the Avni Nezer where he's saying, you know, this one and this one and this one, Asard, I don't care that that one was matir. How could he be matir in front of this one and this one and this one? It was wild. There was a lot going on with these machine matzahs. Now, there are a bunch of different issues when it comes to machine matzahs, and I'm not getting into all of them right now. One of the issues is, do we trust the cleanliness of the machine? This adds to the matzahs on the market. You can find 18-minute matzahs, which are matzahs that were baked within the first 18 minutes of the use of the machine, because then you have certainty that there is no leftover in the next few batches, which could have become like yeast and could have caused the next matzahs to rise. So there's all different calculations and considerations going on over here. I don't want to get into that right now. But what I do want to get into is, does a machine have the capacity to fulfill the requirement of lishma? Because we saw at the very beginning of this year that the matzah that we have, certainly on the Seder night, has to be lishma. Can a machine do lishma? So the Rav Shlomo Kluger, in source number 14, he says, exactly like you guys are laughing at this. What are you talking about? A machine have lishma? I mean, it's not like, what, like a robot? It's ChatGPT, right? So no, it's ridiculous. A machine is no better than Chayrei Shota V'Katan. A machine doesn't have das, so a machine can't infuse or imbue lishma. So therefore, no good for at least the Seder night. Okay. However, other achronim said, hold on a second. First of all, maybe we could say that when the person presses the button on the machine, then that's considered him imbuing the matzah with the lishma because he's controlling the machine. Okay, that's a svara that some accepted, some didn't. But then there's a whole other point, which is that what type of lishma do we really need? If we need a positive mindset type of lishma, an intent, so then you're going to need das. Right? Then you're going to need somebody who's able to think. Machine can't think. So therefore, the machine can't do lishma. If all you need, though, is the lishma of guarding the matzah from becoming chametz, and that itself is the lishma, that this is for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, and that's why it's gone through such a rigorous guarding process, there's more of an argument to be made that the machines would be fine. I believe that the briskers, they love machine shmura matzah, because it's even safer than hand shmura matzah, because the machines work better than people. So some briskers actually go out of their way to have machine shmura matzah, even at the Seder. And they obviously have to, you know, assume that lishma is accounted for with the machines. I think the practice of, you know, the rest of Klal Yisrael is that we have hand matzah at the Seder. And that's because we don't want to rely on the machines, because it gets into these questions of lishma. But I'm bringing it up here because it may depend a little bit on the two different concepts, right? If it's the sur meira, the machine can do it. If it's the aseh tov, the machine can't do it. Yeah.
Does it mean that the machine is doing the afiyah? Is it doing the lechina? At what point are we saying that it's starting to?
Good. Okay. So we're concerned most of the machine doing either the lisha and the afiyah, right? Because we quoted the Taz before that if the machine is doing the grinding, that wouldn't matter. Why not?
It's like a show terracotta.
Exactly. Right. It's what Aaron's pointing out is that the Taz said earlier. That during the early stages of the process, the harvesting and the grinding, you can have somebody who's a Rav HaMachshir, somebody who's overseeing the process. Well, once that's okay, then as long as you have a Mashkiach on the plant, so then the machines can do the job. There'd be no problem with that, right? The only problem that could arise is later on in the process when you get to the kneading and the baking. Okay, so that's basically the very, very long background for the question of what matzah should we eat on the night of the Seder, what matzah should we eat during the rest of Pesach. So take a look at source number 16. The Bir Halacha quotes from the Pri Chadash that even though the Shulchan Aruch says, as we started out this year, that it's best, tov, to have matzah on the night of the Seder that was guarded from the time of harvest, he quotes the Pri Chadash that that's actually required. It's a fundamental requirement. And therefore, says the Bir Halacha, that certainly we go out of our way to have matzah that has been guarded from the time of harvest on the night of the Seder. And all the bakeries that do the hand matzah, they're all working with wheat that has been guarded since the Katsira. And that's why we buy those very expensive matzos, and we shell out our money because we want to, you know, fulfill the mitzvah of matzah in the best way possible. It's something very inspiring. Obviously, you know, spending money is difficult when, you know, whenever, but there's something very inspiring on spending money for the mitzvah, because it's being mevazbez the money to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know, it's something that speaks to me. Around Lulav and Esrog time also, and certainly for matzah, even though I'm not zoche yet to buy my own matzahs, so I'm still going to my parents, but okay. One day. All right, so one more thing. So that's on the Seder night. That's why we have hand-baked matzah. Now, there's a fascinating comment of the Maharal. The Maharal says that any matzah that you eat throughout the night of the Seder gets included in the mitzvah of matzah. Meaning the base requirement for the mitzvah of matzah is to have a kezias. Yeah? You do motzi matzah, you have to have a kezias. Okay, I'm not going to get into that cheer about how big is the kezias and how many. Maybe you have to have two kezaisim. Well, maybe you have to have it all at once. I'm not going to get to that right now. But the Maharal says that even when you go beyond that, all of the matzah that you eat throughout the night of the Seder, even during Shulchan Orech, you want to have your matzah together with your chicken soup, says the Maharal, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. For the Maharal, the 15th of Nisan is the night of matzah. Whatever matzah you have gets included in the mitzvah. So based on that, it would be a good idea to use specifically the hand-baked matzah throughout the night of the Seder, not only to use it for your mitzvah originally and then switch over to the machine matzah, but rather, if you want to fulfill this ma'aral, you can enjoy the hand-baked matzah throughout the night.
That's what the broken pieces
are for.
Sorry? That's what the broken pieces are
exactly,
for.
Exactly, exactly. That's what the broken pieces are for. Awesome. Okay. So the night of the Seder, it's pretty, you know, non-controversial. I think all of us have the practice to have hand-baked matzah the night of the Seder. What about through the rest of Pesach? So this is where it gets a little more fun. So the Beis Yosef in source number 18 says very clearly that the only requirement to have matzah that was watched since the time of the harvest is on the night of the Seder. How do I know that? The Beis Yosef says this is a clear Gemara. We said earlier that the Gemara in Psachim Mem Amud Aleph says you're allowed to have matzahs baked by non-Jews. Are matzahs baked by non-Jews considered shmura matzah? No, because the non-Jew doesn't have the capacity to do the shimur. But the Gemara said you're allowed to have it. So obviously, the Gemara was assuming that you don't need to eat shmura matzah throughout all of Pesach. You only need to have it on the first night. However, there were some who had the practice to eat shmura matzah shmura, throughout all of Pesach. Take a look at source number 19. The Bir Halacha quotes from the Rambam: "Umuchach sham de daito de akol matzah shouchel bePesach Tzarech Shimur. The Bir Halacha says that according to the Rambam, all matzah that we eat during Pesach should be matzah shmura. Oh, why did the Gemara say that we could have dough, you know, baked by non-Jews? Oh, it was talking about that's true, me'ikr hadin, fundamentally that would be correct. But the more proper practice, according to the Rambam, is to have matzah shmura throughout. And if you look in source number, page number 3 at the very top, so he ends off quoting from the Chai Adam, who quotes in the name of the Gra. Rabbi Eliyahu Mivilna, the Gra was makpid me'od ashimur bechol hamatzo sho'ochel bechol ha'pesach. The Gra was very scrupulous to have only matzah shmura throughout all of Pesach. And the Bir Halacha in source number 20 explains that that's because of how worried the Gra was about matzah becoming chametz. So therefore, he wanted it guarded even from the time of Ktsira. So according to the Rambam, according to the Gra, they had matzah shmura throughout all of Pesach. There are some who observe this chumrah even nowadays. Source number 23, the Rav Shachter quotes that Rav Soloveitchik had the practice to eat only shmura matzah throughout all 7 days. Now, when it comes to this shmura matzah, all that you need is shimur from chametz. You don't need the positive element of matzah lishma, because that's for the mitzvah of matzah. What you need is the guarding from becoming chametz. So according to this opinion, the only matzah that you could buy from the store would be the middle one, the shmura matzah. Now I'm told, I don't go shopping myself, but I'm told that this is exorbitantly expensive.
What's the difference between the left and the middle?
So the left is the hand-baked, and the middle is the machine-baked.
Machine is
cheaper, but apparently it's still much more expensive, the shmura machine, than the regular machine. So I have a story to tell as well, which is, I think I've told a couple of people, that my grandparents used to live in Boston, and my Zadie was a big Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik, as I just said, had this practice to eat only shmura matzah throughout all of Pesach. Now, if you only eat shmura matzah throughout all of Pesach, that also means that your matzah meal has to be shmura matzah meal. It's just the same thing, right? So my Bubby was a very kind and gracious person, and she would always bake things for all of her friends and neighbors and everybody in the community. She wanted to bake a cake or a pie or something of the like for the Rav. At that time, and this was, you know, back in, I don't know, the 60s or the 70s, at that time, they didn't have shmura matzah meal. So how are you supposed to bake a cake with shmura matzah meal? And she was making it for the Rav, who only ate shmura matzah. So she took hand-baked matzah and ground it herself to make the cake, to bring it over to the Rav, to be sensitive to his chum. The broken matzahs. Yeah, it's real broken matzahs. Okay. So that's the practice of some. Now, of course, that's a chumrah. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 21 says that Yisrael kedoshim hein, the Jewish people are a very holy people. We do our best to be scrupulous about the mitzvos. V'no'agu la'aso shibur l'shei matzah b'chol ha'matzos. And in source number 22 in Tafnun Gimel Chafei, he points out that when do we need shmira from? Mish'as techino u'lefachos mish'as lisha. The Mishnah Berurah says that when it comes to the rest of Pesach, not the night of the Seder, what we try our best to do is to have matzah that was guarded from the time that it was ground or from the time that it was kneaded. I'm told based on my research, I would love if somebody could confirm this for me or if anybody has more data on this, but I found in my research that the regular matzahs, the right hand side, the regular matzah, the cheap matzahs, they really are guarded from the time that they're ground and certainly from the time that they're kneaded. So even to fulfill this chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah, buying the regular matzahs would be totally fine. That's what I found in my research. But again, there are some who have that practice to have only shmura matzah. So if you see those people who are only eating hand matzah or only shmura matzah, now you know what. Now there's one other idea that we'll end off with. Sorry, I went way beyond tonight. Oh my gosh. Okay, which is that there's also the idea of eating matzah throughout all 7 days of Pesach, right? We saw that 2 weeks ago, that the Gra said they have matzah all 7 days of Pesach. Ooh, so Chaim wants to connect the 2 points together. Chaim wants to say the Gra...
For the
Chaim wants to say that the Gra the Gra said two things. Number one, he said that you should have matzah shmura from the time of harvest throughout all of Pesach. Number two, he said that you should have matzah all 7 days of Pesach in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shivas yomim matzos tochelu. For 7 days, you should eat matzahs. So some say, like Yuchayim, that the reason why the Gra insisted on matzah shmura throughout was because he wanted that in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's possible, but according to the Bir Halacha, it seems more that he wanted it in order to guard it from becoming chametz. At the end of the day, what we see here, and especially from the two different points of matzah shmura and from Rav Rosenzweig's idea, u'shmartem es hamatzos, we've spoken a lot about this throughout the last couple of weeks, 2 shiurim ago, and the drasha two Shabbos ago. The idea of u'shmartem es hamatzos, the line between chametz and matzah, rejecting all that chametz stands for and embracing all that matzah stands for, that really generates a holiday that is Chag HaMatzos. It's fascinating. It's unbelievable that we eat one kezias of matzah on the night of Pesach, on the night of the Tesvav Nisan. You fulfill your mitzvah, and from there, the entire holiday is Chag HaMatzos. For 7 days, it's all a holiday of matzah. And this process of the Shmira, of guarding the matzah from becoming chametz. All that chametz stands for, we reject. All that matzah stands for, we embrace. That's really what the holiday is all about. Okay, see everybody next week. Looking forward.